This lesson is entitled Walking with God Before Men with Dr. Don Sisk. Dr. Sisk has served as a pastor, missionary, director of Baptist International Missions Incorporated, and since 2003 has served as the chairman of the missions department of West Coast Baptist College.
If you'd like to be opening your Bibles, you may open the first passage we're going to look at is Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and then we have a couple other passages that we're going to look at in the beginning this morning, or this afternoon, even. 2:30 in the afternoon, we started at 8:45. We've been going a long time, haven't we? Just about every Saturday night, I'm in a missionary banquet, somewhere, and it's always my duty to speak after I have eaten. And just about every time somebody will ask me the question, isn't it difficult to speak after you have eaten a big meal? And I always reply, oh yes, that's very difficult, but there's something far more difficult than that, and that is sitting and listening to somebody else speak after you've eaten a big meal, okay? And I always tell them, I mean, after all, I'm standing up here, so I have to stay awake. And actually, I guess you wouldn't, because I read one time about a man that dreamed he was preaching, and he woke up, and he was. Okay? So I have a little method where I try to keep people awake. And it's sort of like this. I was in the Ivory Coast years ago, and the missionary that took me on Sunday morning to the church was going to another place. So the only person in that congregation that understood any English at all was the pastor. And he translated for me, or interpreted for me. And we had a good service that morning, and I could follow just about everything that was going on. You know, I could tell when they were making the announcements and taking the offering. That was pretty obvious, and things of that nature. So I could just about follow everything that was going on. But there's a couple of things about the service just a little bit odd. For instance, one of them was all of the men sat on one side of the building and all the women on the other side of the building. Now, I've seen that in some places in the South, okay? But another one was they had both men ushers and lady ushers. I guess the ladies would be usherettes, okay? And all of the ushers had a stick in their hand about this long. Wasn't very big, but it's about this long. And I would notice that every once in a while, they would reach over and tap somebody on the head. So when we were eating lunch that day with the pastor, I said, Pastor, I could follow just about everything that was going on in the service today. But I said, you know, the one thing that I've never seen anywhere else is this. They were just always tapping people on the head during the service. And the pastor began to laugh, and he said, well, Brother Sisk, our building's not very large, and it's always very crowded. And he said, we don't have air conditioning. In fact, we don't even have fans, and they didn't. I mean, they were just jammed in there like sardines, you know. And he said, every once in a while, people have a tendency to get drowsy, and they begin to nod. And he said, when they begin to nod, then the ushers are supposed to tap them on the head to wake them up, okay? So now you don't know who they are and where they are, okay? But we have some designated head tappers in here today, okay? So if you start dozing off and somebody hits you on the head, you know what happened, okay? I heard about a service that had a custom like that, and they hit this one man a little bit too hard one day and knocked him out in the aisle. And he was real sleepy-eyed, and he looked up at the man, and he said, hit me again, I can still hear him, okay? So if you get completely knocked out, you can maybe use that, okay? I'm going to read three different passages of Scripture. One of them you won't have to turn to. The other two will be very easy. Genesis chapter 5, and the subject that I've been assigned is walking with God before men. Walking with God before men. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a wonderful passage, amen. Let me read you one other. You're familiar with it, okay? Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, you've used that passage a lot of times, okay? Another passage, and this is about Enoch, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch walked and was translated. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before the translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Dear Lord, we thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. And we thank you that everything we do around here, and we have the Bible as our authority for everything. And I thank you for the good Fundamental Independent Baptist churches that these people have come from. And we thank you, dear Lord, for providing us with this guidebook for our, not only for how to get saved, but how to live our life. And then, dear Lord, we thank you for men of old that walked with God. And I pray that you'd help each of us to have a closer walk with you. I pray you'd give me the things that I need for this hour, and I'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Look again at Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, whether he walked with God before that time, we're not told. But very specifically, we're told that after he begat Methuselah, then he began to walk with God. The world has a higher standard for Christians than Christians have for themselves. Have you noticed that? The people of the world have a standard of how Christians ought to act. And by the way, in like manner, the average church member has a higher standard for the leadership of the church than the leadership has for themselves. Okay? The bottom line is that people expect a lot from us. People are watching us. Whether we like it or not, we do live in a glass house, okay? That's just part of the territory of being a leader in a church and so forth. That's part of the thing we work with. I'll never forget, as a very young preacher, I'd probably maybe 3 or 4 months after God had called me to preach, and I was visiting with my sister, and my sister had told the neighbors that my brother has been called to preach. He's a preacher. Of course, by that time, he'd preached one time and so forth. But anyway, in her mind and in the minds of the people around there, I was a preacher. And I'll never forget the second day I was at my sister's house, one of the neighbors came running over there, and this is what she was saying. Where is the man of God? Where is the man of God? Where is the man of God? And she might not have been all there, okay? And I'm not sure about all of her thing. But anyway, she was looking for the man of God. And I began to look around everywhere. Where is the man of God? Okay, I think that's the first time that anybody ever referred to me as a man of God. But in reality, that's the way the world looks at us, okay? If I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the world has a higher standard for me than probably I have my own self. If I am a leader, and everybody is a leader in a sense, okay? But the people that are following you and the people that are following me have a higher standard for us maybe than we have for our own self. In other words, we need to walk with God. And the Bible says here, after Enoch begat Methuselah, he began to walk with God. And I've thought about what is it that causes a person to have a desire to walk with God. And in this particular case, after Enoch had a son by the name of Methuselah, and evidently that he was a special child. And by the way, when Methuselah died, then the flood came. And so a lot of things associated with Methuselah and so forth. And evidently Enoch knew some of these things. And he began to walk with God. And I think in my own life, after I got married, I realized that I'm not only responsible for myself, but I am responsible for my wife. You know what that meant? That meant I need to have a closer walk with God. When my daughter was born, and then later my son was born, and I realized that not only am I responsible for my wife, but I'm responsible for my son and my daughter, and I need to walk with God to be the right kind of person for my wife and for my son and for my daughter and so forth. And then when God called me to preach, and then people begin to look at you. And so again, there is a sense that I have to have a closer walk with God, because now people look at me as God's man. And that's the way they look at us, as God's people. And therefore, there is the need to walk with God. And it just goes on down the line, okay? I remember starting to pastor at the ripe old age of 22 years of age, okay? And hardly knowing Saul in the Old Testament from Saul in the New Testament. And it was I have no idea why the church would call me. But they sort of listened to me and thought, we can't do any better and you can't either, so just come pastor us, okay? And honestly, I knew very little about the Bible. But as I began to get involved in the matter of being a pastor and realized that people were looking to me and that they were following me and that they were depending on me, then it gave me a greater sense of the fact that I have to have a closer walk with God. You know, it just goes on down the line. And God led us to go to Japan as missionaries. And you get in a place of 127 million people, and fewer than one half of 1% of them are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there Christians of any nature whatsoever? And you realize that you are God's representative in that place. And my dear friend, that will bring you to a closer walk with the Lord. So it says of Methuselah, and then other positions that came my way. And you know, then missionaries are looking to you. And as I teach now in the Bible college here, and the students are looking at you. And it means that we ought to sense the fact that we desperately, desperately need a closer walk with the Lord. So with that in mind, let's think about four or five simple things this evening. Number one, what does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean to walk with God? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abram walked with God and so forth. What does it mean to walk with God? Number one, it means we're going in the same direction. If I am walking with somebody, then that means both of us are going in the same direction. In other words, if I'm going one way and somebody else is going another way, then we're not walking together. And if I am walking with the Lord, it means that I am going the same direction as the Lord is going. Again, Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, I agree with what God is saying. I agree with what God wants me to do. I agree with where God wants me to go. I am walking with God. That means we're going in the same direction. By the way, you know what that means? It means that we're both going to have the same destination. And that's a wonderful thing, is it not? The end of the walk with God is when we are transported into His presence. And just for a minute, look at Revelation chapter 21. And this ought to encourage any of us to want daily to walk with the Lord. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a wonderful thing it is to think about heaven. By the way, when you're walking with the Lord, I guarantee you, if you have a daily walk with the Lord, then you're going to have a lot of thought about heaven. And heaven is a wonderful place, amen. It's a big place. There is an innumerable number of people that are going to heaven. Now, I know that most people don't believe that, okay? I've been in some groups, and they think just a few in their group is going. In fact, they're not sure anybody's going except them, amen? But when you read the Bible, there are going to be places from every tribe and every tongue and every nation and so forth. So heaven is going to be a wonderful place. And we have the same destination. God is going to be there. He is going to be our Father. He is going to be with us. And we'll be his children. And he will be our God forever and ever and ever. And when I read about heaven, I think of how wonderful it is. Not only who will be there, God will be there. And all of the saints of all of the ages will be there. What a wonderful thing heaven's going to be. But I think not only of what is going to be there and who is going to be there, but I think of what will not be there. Thank God there'll be no more sadness, no more tears. There'll be no more pain. Now, how many of you would admit to being over 40 years of age? Would you lift your hand? Can you imagine living one day without pain? I mean, something hurts all the time, amen? But in heaven, there'll be no more pain. There'll be no more death. I said one time, there'll be no undertakers in heaven, and an undertaker got only after the saints. But I also said to him, I said, hey, there'll be no preachers in heaven. There won't be any need preaching, amen? I mean, those responsibilities are over. There'll be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow. You think about it. There'll be no sin whatsoever. Heaven is a wonderful place. That is God's destination. That is my destination because I'm walking with God. Now, I don't know how some Baptists are going to be there, but there'll not even be any disagreement in heaven. Wow. Heaven's a wonderful place. What does it mean to walk with God? Number one, it means that we're going the same direction. Number two, it means that our destination is the same. Then I think about the various steps with our walk with God. Our walk with God. Now, every one of us can look back and think about how week after week, month after month, year after year, and by the way, we should never stop growing. When we stop growing, we start dying, okay? But the walk with God, there are various steps on this walk with God. For instance, our walk begins with our conversion. Now, nobody can walk with God until they have been united to God, until they have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have his nature in us. Then that is when we can begin to walk with God. So it starts with conversion. And then there is the growth. And we all began as little babes in Christ. You might have been saved when you were 5 years old. Or you might have been saved when you were 50 years old. But when you got saved, you were a newborn babe in Jesus Christ. And therefore, then there is the growth period. Such things as baptism and church membership and Bible reading and prayer and on and on and on. But these are the areas that we grow in. And then there is the commitment of our life to the Lord. Many of you are pastors or you're associate pastors or you're your evangelist or whatever. So there was a time when you made a total commitment of your life to the Lord. That is a stage in your walk with the Lord. Then there's the matter of total surrender. Putting everything in the hand of God, surrendering everything to Him. What does it mean to walk with the Lord? Again, it means that we keep step with Him. We keep step with Him. Now, if you're walking with somebody, and I've had a lot of walking partners. I've walked with a lot of good men of God. I've walked with men that say they have a prayer walk and so on and so forth. And I'm not very tall. In fact, I'm short, okay? And a lot of people I walk with are long-legged. And it's just hard for me to keep up with them, okay? And but to walk with somebody, it means that you keep in step with them. In other words, if they're way ahead of you, then you're not walking with them, you're walking behind them. If they're behind you, then you're not walking with them, you're walking in front of them. The walk with the Lord means this, that we are keeping in step with Him. By the way, don't run ahead of Him. There's a tendency to do that sometimes, okay? But by the same token, don't lag behind Him. Just be careful that you're following the steps of the Lord. Have you thought about this? When you walk with the Lord, you just never know where that walk may take you. It's an exciting walk, amen. In fact, walking, if you think about it, okay, walking is kind of a dangerous thing. Because if you miss one step, you fall on your face, okay? You know, it reminds me of this, that as we walk, we realize that we are totally dependent upon Him. A walk with the Lord means I am totally dependent upon Him. For instance, John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And I love that next statement, for without me you can do nothing. A walk with the Lord means that we are realizing that we are totally dependent upon Him. And it is an exciting walk. We absolutely have no idea where it will take us. I think about my own life. I was born and reared in a coal mining camp down in Kentucky. And when I graduated from high school, the farthest I had ever been from home was 90 miles. I had been from Western Kentucky, Nortonville, Kentucky, to Nashville, Tennessee. My folks were very cultural. They took us to the opera. The Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee. But we went from Nortonville to the Grand Ole Opry, about 90 miles. And that's the farthest I'd ever been from home. In fact, I can remember a fella going for his examination for the Army, and he had to go to Louisville, and that's about 150 miles. And the fella got back home. Somebody asked him about the trip, and he thought when he got to the Louisville, that was the end of the world. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, if the world is as wide as it is long, it's a big world, amen? And that's about my thinking, you know. 90 miles from home when you graduate from high school. I got a letter the other day from Delta Airlines said, congratulations, you have now traveled 3 million miles on Delta Airlines. Man, it's an exciting walk, amen? Well, you get to fly sometimes when you walk with the Lord, okay? We never know where the walk may take us. Then again, there's no controversy between me and God. You know, if I'm in a big fight with somebody, chances are I'm probably not going to be walking with them, okay? But we're together. I love the 37th Psalm. Would you turn there with me for just a few minutes? And let's look at that. And in the 37th Psalm, David begins to reminisce about his life up to that particular place, the time. And in Psalms 39, And verse 23, he makes this statement. The steps, and of course, we're walking, okay? Walking with the Lord. Notice what I said. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Think about that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that means that as we're walking with the Lord, then God is leading us step by step. Now, by this time, David's an old man. He's going to say that in a few minutes, okay? And he really could have said, the life of a good man is ordered by the Lord, or the years of a good man are ordered by the Lord, or the months and the weeks and so on and so forth. But he didn't say that. He said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And how many would agree with me today? We need God's leadership for every step. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll think we need God's leadership for these big decisions. But in reality, we need God's leadership for every decision. So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And think with me about the providence of God. And if we're not careful, many times something will happen to us and we'll say, oh, that just happened. You know, no. Nothing just happened. Amen. God orchestrated that thing. The providence of God. Another man made a similar statement like that. Eliezer. God had sent him out to get a wife for Isaac. And he had no idea what to do. So he began to pray. And you remember his prayer. That when I go to the well and the girls come out to draw the water. And I say to a girl, give me a drink. And she'll say, okay, here's your drink. And while you're drinking, I'll draw water for your camels. And he had 10 camels. And that was a big prayer. Amen. And Rebecca came. And he said, could I get a drink of water? Sure, here's a drink of water. And by the way, while you're drinking, I'll draw water for your camels. And man, oh, Eliezer got all goose pimples. Amen. You prayed like that. Dear Lord, if this is what you want me to do, show me. And all of a sudden, God showed you. Wow. God has wonderfully answered the prayer. And Eliezer, after he had listened to Abraham, and he had gone where Abraham told him to go, and he had done what Abraham told him to do, and he had prayed as he was going. And then when it all worked out, and he had found the wife for Isaac, he simply made this statement, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Hey, when you're walking with the Lord, thank God he'll lead you step by step. Amen. And then he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young. And by the way, that's good for all of us to say, amen. The next statement none of us like to say, now I'm old. Old is 10 years older than me. Sad to say in a meeting of this nature, I'm the oldest one here probably. So I have to look around and say, I've been young, now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What does it mean? What does it mean to walk with the Lord? Second thing, how do we walk with the Lord? How do we walk with the Lord? How can I be sure that I am walking with the Lord? Number one, the way I can walk with the Lord is that I can read his word. You want to know who God is? You want to know what God is doing? You want to know what God thinks about something? Then just read the word of God. We have a saying in Japanese that goes like this. Listen to it very carefully and you'll get it, okay? Osakano taberu yo ni seisho yomi nasai. You get that? Brother David, you got it, didn't you? Amen. Okay, listen to it. Osakano taberu yo ni seisho yomi nasai. And what it means is it. Read the Bible the way you eat fish. You know why they say that? They eat fish every day, and they eat a whole lot of it, okay? How do I walk with God? Hey, I stay in this book, okay? I guess for well over 40 years, I've read the Bible through at least one time, and you have all kind of plans of reading through the Bible, okay? Several years ago, I was in my son's church, and he was emphasizing that he had a program where you could read the Bible through in 90 days, and I'd never done that, so I took that challenge. And in fact, in 60 days, I read through the Bible. And so that time, I read through the Bible 5 times that year. Hey, but it didn't make any difference how many times you read for it. It's just as through it. It's just as fresh as it was when it was written. This is the living Word of God. And if I'm going to walk with God, then I'm going to have to find out where God is going. I'm going to have to find out what God is doing. And I'm going to have to find out what God wants me to do. And the way I find that out is that I stay in the Word of God. John 5:39 says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." You want to know God? You want to walk with God? Then stay in the Bible. Psalms 119 and verse 105 said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." By the way, you won't stumble when you're reading the Word of God. I like what Spurgeon said when he said, "This word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word." Again, Psalms 1, listen at this. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." We want to walk with God. The way we have a walk with God is we stay in the Word of God. And then 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." How can I be sure that I am walking with God? By the way, Be kind of dull if you just walk with somebody and you never say anything to each other. Amen? So you listen to God by listening to His Word. And then you talk to God by praying to Him. Isn't it an amazing thing? The sovereign God of the universe wants to have fellowship with us. And He wants us to talk to Him. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all manners tempted as we are, yet without sin. And that great high priest says, "Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in a time of need." What a wonderful God we have in. And think about it. He wants us to talk with Him. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Praying always." How do we walk with God? We walk with God by having a fervent prayer life. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints." The way we walk with God and have the fellowship that we ought to have with God is that we talk to God. I put this little statement here, and I'm not sure where I got it. I don't think I ever had an original thought in my whole life, okay? So about everything I say, I heard somebody else say it or something. But I love this. Listen to it. Anything that concerns you is important in His eyes. And every once in a while, if we're not careful, we'll say, "Well, this is so trivial." Or, "This is so dumb that I probably even shouldn't talk to God about it." By the way, God already knows about it anyway, amen? So you're not informing Him when you tell Him anything, okay? But it doesn't matter what is on our heart. It doesn't matter what we're doing so far. It doesn't matter what we're involved in. God is interested in it. And He wants us to pray about all things. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said to His disciples, "Watch and pray ye that ye enter not into temptation." Walking with God. By the way, sin will hinder your walk with God. Disobedience will hinder your walk with God. And the way to keep awake from that, and this is what Jesus said to the disciples that had slept while He was praying, "Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit indeed is willing." We've all had that. "Man, I'm ready to do this." Like Peter, "I'll never deny you. I'll die with you," and so forth. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's the reason we need to talk to God about it. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. You ever heard the statement? Why pray when you can worry? But the opposite of that is, why worry when you can pray? Now listen to what Paul is saying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I had a dear lady in First Church I pastored down in Kentucky. And I don't know how many times I'd hear her say this. She said of certain things. She said, Brother Sid, I just pray and I worry. And I worry and I pray. And one day I stopped her and I said, ma'am, you can't do both at the same time. If you're praying, you're not worrying. And if you're worrying, you're not praying. God is concerned about everything we're concerned about. And the way to stay in step with him is to talk with him as you go. And I think of some wonderful conversations that I've had with people as we just walk together. And I love to walk. I mean, you know, I used to jog, but I'm too old for that, okay? But I love to walk, and I love to walk with people. Now, I like to walk by myself, too, and I do that most of the time. But I like to walk with people. Every once in a while, my wife and I walk. She's not much of a walker, okay? So I have to go pretty slow and I'll walk with her. But I never will forget one day, she and I were in Canada, in northern Canada, at Camp of the Woods. And the camp is about a mile off of the road, and they have a little road out to the camp that they had made themselves. And she and I walked out to the road, and then we were walking back. And, of course, there are woods everywhere, and there are elk and just about every animal you can think about. And she said, Don, do you think there are any bear out here? I said, oh, yeah, there are bear everywhere. And she said, what if one of these bears came out? What would we do? I said, we'd run. And she said, I'm not sure we could outrun a bear. And I said to her, I wouldn't have to outrun the bear. I'd just have to outrun you. Okay. Now that wasn't a good story, okay? But you ought to talk to the Lord. And by the way, anything that's on your mind, just talk to the Lord about it. You remember when the two disciples were on the way to Emmaus? And Jesus caught up with them and he said, in essence, what are you talking about? Tell me. What's on your mind? What's on your heart? Pour out your heart to the Lord. You want to walk with God? Then just keep talking to God. One of my favorite Psalms, verses in the book of Psalms, is Psalms chapter 81 and verse 10. I want you to open your Bible to that. If that's not your favorite, it ought to become one of them, okay? Now, I hesitate to say favorite because just about everyone I turn to is a favorite, okay? But this is the favorite today, okay? Psalms 81 and 10. And by the way, any time in the Old Testament that God wanted to emphasize his power, he would talk about the deliverance from the Egyptian bondage and going through the Red Sea and so forth. And in Psalms 81:10, he says this, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And in essence here, you know what he's saying? Hey, I can do anything. Remember, I brought you out of the land of Egypt, 2 million of you, dry land. I brought you through. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And then he made this statement. Look at it. Do you have your Bibles open? Do all of you have King James? Somebody said this morning, some churches, if you'd stand up and say, now let's read in unison, it would sound like the Tower of Babel. But that won't sound like that in this congregation. I'm sure of that, okay? Read the rest of it with me. I'm going to read the first part, then the last part I want you to read. Open thy mouth wide and... All right, let's do that again. Open thy mouth wide and...
I will fill it.
Wow, is that a great invitation or not? You think about it, we're walking with God. And every once in a while, God gives us all kind of good things. I mean, it is wonderful to walk with God. You just never know what you're going to get. And God says, hey, Don, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. You know what that means? You ever seen a mama bird go out and get a worm and come back toward the nest? In the nest, there's a bunch of little bitty birds. And I'll tell you, when that mama bird gets close to that nest, you can't see any birds. All you can see is open mouth. Why? They're expecting that mama bird to put something in it. Right. Open thy mouth wide and I'll fill it. Hey, by the way, when you walk with God, God give you some great things. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Many times we cheat ourselves out of some great blessings from God. I'll tell you a story. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my whole life, okay? You like to hear but dumb things other people do, don't you? It was our first Christmas after I'd started pastoring. I started pastoring in February 1956. Christmas came. One of the ladies, Mrs. Bruce, came to me in Virginia and said, "Brother Sisk, I want you and Miss Sisk to go to Jordan Furniture Company, and I want you to buy whatever you need, whatever you want. Charge that to my account." Now, this was before the day of credit cards and people had credit accounts in stores. Some of you remember those, okay? And she said, I've got an account at Jordan Furniture Company. You go there and buy anything you want and I will pay for it, and that will be my Christmas present to you. You know, I'm 22 years old. Well, Miss Bruce, how much should we spend? Doesn't make any difference. Buy whatever you want, I'll pay for it. Well, we went shopping at Jordan Furniture Company. And at that time, we were Bible school students. So we needed everything we had, saw, because we didn't have anything. I mean, you know. And not only did we need everything we saw, we wanted everything we saw. I mean, we looked at couches, we looked at new beds, we looked at carpet, we looked at refrigerators. At that time, we had an ice box. And some of you young people say, "What's an ice box?" It's a box you put ice in. When the ice runs out, your refrigeration runs out. We shopped for about an hour and a half. And when we left that day, we had purchased a little magazine rack that cost $5.95. And we carried it with us. And I still have that magazine rack. It is a trophy of my stupidity. I could have had anything in that store and I settled for a $5.95 magazine rack. And God wants, and he says to some of us, he's saying some of us today, "Hey, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And every time I think of that verse, I think, you don't have to be a $5.95 Christian. You don't have to be a $5.95 missionary or a pastor or an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher. You have the unlimited resources of Almighty God at our disposal. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. How do you walk with God? You read God's word. How do you walk with God? You talk to God. How do you walk with God? You meditate on him. Think about him. Time after time in the book of Psalms, you have that little word, Selah. Selah, Selah, Selah. You know what it means? How about that? Think about that. That's really what it means. So the next time you get to that word in the psalm, just stop, and God is saying, "Hey, you see what you've read? Think about that. Think about that." Now, sometimes we speed read. That's okay. I remember that time when I read through the Bible 5 times in 1 year. I mean, I didn't waste any time. Zoop, I was through, okay? But then there are a lot of times when we don't need to just hurry in our Bible reading. And we don't just need to hurry in our prayer life, but we just sort of need to stand or set before God or lay before God, whatever, and meditate upon him. And his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. And that's like the old cow chewing the cud. Amen. Just get it in the mouth and water it over and keep it in there. And, you know, and just rejoice in it. Meditate in the Lord. How do we walk with the Lord? We have to be sure we're real sensitive to his leadership. If I'm going to walk with the Lord, then I have to be sure that I'm sensitive to his leadership. We read a while ago, the steps of a good man. I have to be sure that I'm stepping where God wants me to step. I'm going where God wants me to go. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And you know, time after time in the Bible, men of God were very sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. For instance, in the 8th chapter of Acts in verse 26, and the angel spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. Now, Philip was listening to God one day, and Philip was in Samaria. There we were having a great revival. People were getting healed. Great things were happening. And all of a sudden, God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to Philip and said, leave this and go down to the desert. Didn't make sense in the eyes of man. But hey, when God says, go somewhere, it doesn't matter what I think or other people think, we ought to go, amen. We ought to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul, on his way to Asia Minor, and God, no, he did not forbid it, or he did not permit him to go there. Okay, another place. No, not there. And he waits before God, and then all of a sudden, he sees this vision at night, and the man from Macedonia is saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And aren't you glad that Paul was sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God? How do you walk with God? You read his word. How do you walk with God? You talk to him. You pray. How do you walk with God? You meditate on him. How do you walk with God? You associate with godly people. Associate with godly people. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this. Let us consider one another to provoke one another into love and good works. By the way, that's the reason you come to a meeting like this. Amen. You get to hear people and they provoke you to love and to good works and so forth. And not only do you get to do that to other people, but you get to do that to other people. And by the way, be sensitive to the needs of the people that you're around in a meeting like that. You just never know what somebody might be going through and what problem or what trial or somebody might be experiencing. And you could be used of God to help them. Walk with God, be sure that you associate with godly people. Paul went on to say, or whoever wrote Hebrews, okay, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another. And haven't you listened to the messages this week? You know, if you're here Sunday and Monday night and all day Tuesday, and God is just speaking to us in so many ways. And time after time, we've been exhorting one another to be faithful to God, to stand for God, to have courage, to work for God, and so forth. Associate with good people. Proverbs 27, 17, the favorite of many of us. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let me close today. But just talking about some other people that walked with God. We've read about Enoch. Enoch walked with God. By the way, and the Bible says, and he was not, for God took him. I love that, don't you? One day Enoch and God was out walking and God took him. I like what the little girl, how she explained that passage. She was telling her mama about it. That had that class in Sunday school. And she said, Mama, one day Enoch and God was out walking. And they walked a long way from Enoch's home. And said, God said to Enoch, Enoch, my house is closer than yours. You just go home with me today. Hey, one day God will say that to us, amen. Enoch walked with God and he was not. For God took him. Galatians chapter 6, and you don't have to turn there, but you realize what God is talking about walking there. Listen to what he says. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Every born-again child of God, walk in the Spirit. God, by the way, notice what it says. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking in the Spirit, you won't be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. If you're walking with God, there are just a lot of things you won't be doing. If you're walking with God, there's a lot of things you'll be doing. For the flesh lusteth after against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and of such which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When you're walking with God, you'll be free from all those things. But when you're walking with God, this is what you'll have. But the fruit of the Spirit, walking with God: joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Noah walked with God. Abram walked with God. I like a man in the New Testament called Zacharias. He walked with God. For 400 years, there was no direct word from God. And yet, all of those years, Zacharias was waiting on God and walking with God. And listen to what he says of him. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abaria. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord blameless. He walked with God. Long time. No direct word from God. But thank God, even during those times, there were some people that was walking with God. Let me close with this verse. Let your conversation, and you know as well as I do, okay, I don't have to tell you this, but conversation doesn't mean talking there. It means your way of life, okay? Let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, don't always be wanting something else. You're walking with God, okay? And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Walking with God before men. Hey, fellas, ladies. The world expects us to walk with God. The people who are following us expect us to walk with God. And we had better be sure that we have a close walk with the Lord. It is not only my responsibility as a Christian to walk with the Lord, but it is a great privilege. I've got to walk with some great preachers. Got to walk with some great evangelists and missionaries and so forth. And many times I'd get home from a walk and think, wow, how wonderful it is. I got to spend some time with them. But think about it. The sovereign God of the universe says to every one of us, hey, let's go walking. Let's go walking. Walk with the Lord. Dear Lord, there are so many things that hinder us from the kind of walk that we ought to have. And I pray that you will bless each of us. I'm praying for my own self. And I pray for all of these that are listening this afternoon. And Lord, help us daily to talk to you, to listen to you, to meditate upon you, and to be sensitive to you. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our midst this week. And I thank you for what you're doing for these people that have come from all over the world. And I pray, dear Lord, you'd bless each of them. And may their walk be so that others can see them and would begin to walk with the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.